Okay, let's see. I think I got all the buttons pushed. And I think everything's going along the way it's supposed to go. But if it was going along the way it was supposed to go, I wouldn't be doing this show. There'd be a real host on here. But that isn't what you guys get. You get me. I am a genuine imitation, artificial representation of a real fishing radio show talk host. Guaranteed genuine artificial imitation. So, anyway, getting back to the main point of this, this is the Area Fishing Report. Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and we have Captain Kale in the guest spot. And our studio audience is nothing if not excited today, and they're just going crazy. It's nice having a big studio like this, and from our magnificent theater here in downtown Charlotte Harbor, you know, we've been talking about a lot of different stuff. We're going to get right into the fishing report, but we're going to get sidetracked a minute. I know you guys don't expect that. I mean, to the point. That's what I always am, right to the point. What's this about extreme boat docking, where you have to competitions on how you get your boat up to the dock?
It's kind of like Lashley on a weekend, only with a purpose. These guys are having competitions for docking their boats. They come into a jetty, they go around a course, and they've got to back their boats into their docks and tie it off, and then in some they have to go back out, turn around, bring it in forward. And what started as just like a friendly competition between the fishing boats at the docks is now becoming a televised sport.
I can see it, because what is the one thing? Guy goes out and drives the car, and he's in his car driving down the highway, and then he gets in a boat and does it exactly the same way. They don't think that a car steers from the front. Turn the steering wheel, and the front wheels turn, and the front of the car goes.
Right.
But when you're in a boat, and you turn the steering wheel, it pushes the back of the boat, thereby adjusting the front of the boat.
Correct.
It's exactly opposite of how a car works.
Right.
And when you're on the water, and somebody's 400 yards over to your other side, you don't have to get all the way around them just so you can pass on the same side you would on a highway.
Yep.
You can actually go by on the opposite side. You can be English for just a moment.
Yes.
And you're not breaking the rules.
No.
You can actually go further than 5 feet from a marker.
Right.
Yes.
You can. I actually watched this on TV at one point before it was really becoming as popular as it is. And it's kind of cool to watch. These guys bring these boats to these docks in reverse, full throttle. And the guy usually stands up on the tuna tower backwards so he can watch the boat go in. And all he's doing, he's got his hands behind his back running those two throttles to bring that boat in. And they do it so fast that it's impressive to watch.
Oh, I think it'd be a great.
Because you're waiting to see lower units and pilings go flying everywhere, and it never happens almost.
No, it never happens almost.
Almost. It's like NASCAR. Every once in a while, you get that one guy that just flies into the wall. So,
all right, Robert, you have this look on your face of, what are you guys talking about?
I mean, is it million-dollar yachts or is it just boats?
It's expensive fishing boats that you're seeing doing this. I mean, these are the guys.
My question is, do the owners of the boats know it's being done?
That's the question.
Yeah, because chances are the captain does not own the $4 million Hatteras or the $8 million Viking.
Right. Well, you'll see from lobster boats all the way up to big offshore sailboats or sailfish boats doing
just
this.
Just kind of curious. Cool. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's my only question on the whole thing. Is the owner a participant or standing on the sidelines, or does he just not have a clue what's going on?
I'm pretty sure the owner's insurance agent is standing there.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. All right, because if you can afford one of those boats, you can have your own insurance guy standing there. All right. So let's go on the Area Fishing Report, and starting with the place-by-place fishing report.
What's the river doing, by the way, before we get into that too much?
Okay.
Should be down quite a bit.
Let's see, fishandfranks.com. You know, I had to upgrade my Adobe on my computer, and it made me download Google Chrome, which I you know, have now trying to get rid of again because Google's just such a nightmare.
It hasn't been raining a ton, but I figure I'd be curious to see how much it came down from last week, if it did at all.
I think every side of every issue should always be reported, and Google's having a major problem with biased on everything. Can't trust people who are like that. Let's see. Actually, it started bottoming out about 4 foot and has gained a little bit, but leveled off at 4.5 feet. So, major development. Last week, it was at 8 feet, down from 11.5. And now, it's all the way down. It went down to almost 4, and it's back up to 4.5. But it's not showing any rise or inclination to rise. And 959 cubic feet a second, which is very low. And in 1949, there was 14,800 cubic feet a second coming down. 1949.
Wow. That's crazy.
And I think the average for this time of year is 1,370. So we're actually a little below average on water flow, 959. But considering the rest of the year has been such a dramatic, you know, increase.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, that's not bad. Not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
And it may go back up again.
Oh, yeah. Depending on what this tropical little whatever blip is doing.
The drunken baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's it's definitely a millennial. And it's out there just, I don't care what you want.
Wandering around doing its own thing.
Wandering around. Let's see. Key West, 86.7, average 87 degrees, so right on the money there. Naples, 86.4, average 87. St. Petersburg, 87.1, average 86. So we're a little high as you go north. And that trend does not include all the way up to Pensacola. Pensacola, 85.6, supposed to be 86. So we're within, you know, reasonable limits. We've come down. We were 4 to 5 degrees over average.
Right.
And now we're back down. And it's been all these storms, all these rainstorms, this...
the wind.
Yeah, the wind and the cloud cover. That storm that just dumped on those poor folks in Louisiana had a big part in dropping that down because the cloud cover was so massive.
Yeah.
It was just an amazingly huge storm that just happened to sit there. And I'm still not sure that this one in the Gulf is not going that way. They're saying... coming back towards Florida, but they were saying it was going up the East Coast 4 days ago.
Right.
My money is still a little further west. If I was a little further west, I would be a little more, I would be worried about a big rain event. It's not going to, I don't think, has a potential if the wind stops to develop something. But right now, the wind and the rotation of the storm are both going the same direction, and it's making it overspin. Is not going to be able to develop with that overspin. The wind just pushing it forward, making it spin faster, which you would think would cause development, but it makes it just fly apart. So,
I was unaware of that.
Yeah, it's the winds at 10, 15,000, 40,000 feet. That's what messes with.
Right.
You know, they've got to get up several thousand feet to build up any strength. Well, there's so much wind up there, it's just tearing the tops off, and it's just blowing it along. It's almost as bad, if not worse, than a hurricane trying to develop against a headwind. At least a headwind will bunch it somewhat, and I actually think you have a better chance of development with a headwind on the hurricane than with a trailing wind, a pushing wind. So anyway, that's my little take on this, but that was for the Gulf. I was already on fishandfranks.com, hit that right there. So all right, and that just takes us right to the National Weather Service thing. I've kind of linked them all in for you. Peace River, I don't know what's going on up there. Do we call it
same
one star,
as last
two
week?
Star, three star, zero star?
Zero star.
unless you're looking for Mayan cichlids and tilapia, then you might get two or three out of it.
I've had 5 emails about where can I find more Mayan cichlids, because these are such good eating, they're so much fun to catch, the kids are having a ball, the parents are having a ball, they're eating them, they're just really enjoying it all, everything's going big with these Mayan cichlids.
Has the potential of being the saltwater Oscar.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the brackish water. They won't live out in the Gulf.
Well, brackish.
Yeah, your brackish water.
Technical. Still the same areas.
Yeah, it's got a real good.
They have a very
steam built up.
They have a much higher tolerance for the salt than the tilapia do.
Yeah, it's staggering how much salt they can be in.
Yeah, I mean you're definitely not going to catch one out on the beach.
No, but the canals in Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, the Peace River
creeks over on the east side.
I don't know of any place on the Peace River itself that's got a good population. I know the canal's got a ton of them.
Right,
but I'm not hearing about them on the river itself.
All of what's that bay called right
Whidden
there?
Bay.
Where Whidden Bay?
Whidden Bay.
Whidden Bay is loaded.
Full of them.
Yeah, but Whidden Bay is still kind of the canal system for Harbor Heights.
Right.
You know, true. It's not along. You know, it's not on the Peace River itself. They seem to be in the tributaries, the offshoot bays. You know, stuff
Maybe
like that.
Maybe that's just because that's where people are actually seeing them and paying close attention. But I mean, I think you could probably go drift along the shoreline right there along the Navigator, south or north, and probably pick some up. Be worth investigating.
Definitely.
I don't know. Go out there and catch them on little bluegill stuff. Have a good time with it. Make it worthwhile.
Yeah, and I mean your freshwater bluegill hooks, lures, baits, worms.
Little beetle spin.
Beetle spins. Anything you would catch a bluegill or a shellcracker with, you're going to catch these mines.
And now it doesn't take you forever to get back into the back of Whidden Bay. They've opened that up to full speed.
They did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good, bad, whatever.
No, it's good.
Depends if you live back there or not.
No, I mean, there's no reason for it to be a slow zone, to be quite honest with you. As long as somebody's not running stupid, there's no reason to run slow through there. The whole slow speed stuff in a lot of areas was just done because of the lawsuit by the Save the Manatee Club and the Audubon Society and all that. Had nothing to do with erosion or anything else or safety for humans or animals or anything else.
Just
a lawsuit issue. Yeah, politics. It was always about politics. I know. I was part of it.
Yeah, it's all good.
The only thing I will say about it is, what's actually crazy, if you go around some of the areas, we put in manatee zones for human safety zones because they could not, the local officials could not get a human safety zone there. They had these dangerous areas where a bridge and a marina and everything, just a tremendous amount of congestion and people flying through there. It was really, really unsafe. And so when we were there, they asked us to, you know, what can we do with this? And I worked with several communities on making manatee zones that were actually public safety zones. But the manatee zone we could put in, we were legally authorized to do all that. And as long as we stayed within the federal guidelines, and which that was my job.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, so it worked both ways. But in the case of Whidden Bay, that was just, there was no reason for it. I don't believe there's a reason now.
No, it only, it's just out in front of the boat ramp now.
Right.
It's low speed in front of the boat ramp. Once you're past the boat ramp, you can get back up, 25 mile an hour.
Yeah, 25 mile an hour. But see, I think right around wherever you got boat ramps coming in and out, they should be slow zones, not for the manatees, for the people. Because all of a sudden you're backing a boat out. Here comes a guy at 50 miles an hour, and boom, you got bad, critical situations.
Absolutely.
So to me, that's a good human safety thing. And so, anyway, so Peace River, we got nothing. We're going to give it an F. I don't really know what's going on in the Peace River. Haven't heard anything.
No.
I haven't seen many people. I've seen a few people out there fishing. Unfortunately, I haven't seen anybody catching. But I have seen people out there fishing on the river, so I wish I'd give it a better report. All right, so we're going to bypass that. Let's go down to next 141 Bridge.
That park on the north side seems like the place to be. Lots of people catching redfish off of that seawall, on boats and on land.
Yeah, right around the power lines where the cables come down into the water. Some of the guys have been doing well right there, but also been getting some mixed reports of the guys fishing on their boats going, what is that little condo association there on the north end between 41 and 75? Closest.
Not a clue.
Right where all the big docks start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Along that shoreline there, the guys have been catching a few redfish under those docks and some peanut snook. And then also been a few black drum kind of over along that shoreline underneath some of those docks.
What day is tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, two. Okay.
It's supposed to be bad weather with this potential rain tomorrow.
It's going to potentially rain all week. You know, that storm isn't designated. It's sitting out there in the Gulf. You know, it can rain any minute.
Right.
So. All right. Anything else besides redfish there, snook, a couple of black drum?
I haven't heard of really anything else.
Okay.
I haven't even heard of the juvenile tarpon there, have you?
No.
Moving on. Okay. Lashley Pier, right straight across on the other side.
Been a few small snook there in the evening time with a couple bigger black drum. Oddball redfish, but that's been real odd. Most of them have been on the north side. And that's about it that I've heard of. Daytime fishing has been fair to pretty quiet.
Fair to pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bayshore Pier.
I had to catch myself. I was going the wrong direction, so I had to go with whatever rolled off the tongue without it being bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. All right. Keep the show PG. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Bayshore Pier, which is, you know, right up around the corner on the northern side. Anything?
We took a walk down there yesterday, and there was a couple guys fishing. They caught two small trout, one whiting, and a, how am I doing today? The pinfish. Jeez. Talk about a brain fart. I knew it was another small fish. I was trying to remember off the top of my head what it was, but little pinfish.
Okay.
Nothing too exciting, but his kids had a good time. You know, he said that was more important than whatever else was going on out there.
Okay, then let's jump to the canals, Port Charlotte side canals. Anything going on in the canals?
Quite a few smaller snook that I'm hearing about. Little juvenile tarpon have scattered all the way up to 41. I'm hearing guys talking about just seeing juvenile tarpon rolling around in their canals. Even been a few jacks here and there. You know, it hasn't been gangbusters up in there, but it's not bad. Now that this river's starting to slow down a little bit, that might perk things back up.
Okay, it's going to take us out of Alligator Bay. Anything happening on Port Charlotte Beach at all?
There's been some tarpon cruising through there. They're running that deep cut from the beach complex out around the grassy point.
Okay.
Usually when those redfish are at the 41 bridge, there's usually some underneath those docks in between Grassy Point and the beach complex. Just haven't heard of any.
I haven't seen anybody fishing in there either.
Right. I know this is usually the time of year for them, but what can you do?
Punt. All right. Let's see. Micah Cutoff. How about Elgibene Pier? Anything going on at the Elgibene Pier?
Night fishing's been really good. I've been some really big snook, a few small tarpon, even a couple bigger tarpon, black drum, and the mangrove snapper bite's pretty lousy, but the few fish that they are catching are in like that 14, 15 inch range.
And you know, nice fish.
Pretty sizable. Just no consistency to them, but definitely better quality. Day fishing has been very quiet over there. Most of the guys have been driving further out to Inglewood and Placida area for that. It's been so hodgepodge.
All right. That's going to bring us around out a little bit to the Micah River system, the river, the Micah Cutoff, anything in like that?
I haven't heard of anything up in the cutoff at all, personally.
Small snook, small redfish, some snapper, some small sheephead. Nobody's really setting the world on fire in there.
The main river itself, there's been some schooling ladyfish over there by marker 7 and marker 8 with an oddball tarpon in it. And a couple small sharks mixed in with them. But it's been, you know, you just got to look for them blitzing or find that weird scum line that usually forms over there and kind of drift along that and just cast out a little paddle tin. You can have a field day with some ladyfish. Great fun for the kids.
Okay, South Gulf Cove canals, anything going back in there?
I have not heard of anything. I had a guy buy some shiners to take back fish in there on Friday, I think it was, but and then hear back if he did any good or not.
And we can actually go on record. We are back in the freshwater shiner and minnow business officially now. It's been a few weeks. They're living. I am going to add one more inline ammonia filter. We've done reverse osmosis, chloramine filters, but now we have to add one more ammonia filter. But everything's living good. They're actually staying alive in your bucket and in our tanks after 8 or 9 months of basically not being in the freshwater bait business for that. But we have shiners, minnows, worms, and night crawlers pretty steady now. And so we're all back in business in those. We are going to be adding crickets and mites and grubs and, oh yeah, we got all that coming. But I am crickets? Not, I'm not buying anything until we see the first cold sprawls come through. As soon as we see a cool front coming through, we're going to be loaded on bluegill baits, crappie baits, everything you want, everything you've been asking for, we will load up on it. But I need to see some sign of cooler weather coming, because it's, why let it, buy them all and let them die?
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, my commitment is to, I've already spent thousands, literally thousands of dollars getting your freshwater bait back. I mean, the money I've spent into this, it will be 2 years minimum before I get any money back off my freshwater system. But we are a bait shop. We should have it. So, yeah, I mean, reverse osmosis systems are not cheap. No. I can tell you that right now.
Well, neither is all the plumbing and the three different experimental tanks.
Oh, yeah.
And thousands, the headache.
Thousands of dollars have gone.
And the canaries that were all used.
Yep.
I haven't looked and see if my canaries are still doing well.
They're still alive and
still
kicking.
Still alive. Okay, good.
But at this point, right, they probably won't die.
I don't know.
Well, you'd be surprised.
It'd be like that one darn mullet that was used to hang out in the back bait tank.
Oh, we have. Yeah, over the years, I mean, it's hard to remember how many fish have made it years in those tanks. Okay. South Gulf Cove canals. No report?
No report at all.
No.
Been very quiet back in there. It's like you said, you know, there's a lot of snowbirds back in there.
Okay, getting around to the west side. West side. What's going on in the west wall?
There's been redfish down along the all hodgepodge all along the whole shoreline there, with a few of them out kind of more on the flats area. Been a few pompano scattered along there too, but nothing consistent to say that it's targetable. Just a few guys seeing a few skip here and a few skip there. And as you get down to that southern end, that's when it starts to get a little bit fishier.
Okay, that brings us to this right now. Once you see who that is. Hello.
It's a wife.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to take a break, Kale and I can handle this for a minute. Let's see. Hang on just a second. Okay. Now we had to hit the pause button. We had bait orders to do and everything else. So we're back on. We're at Cape Hayes. Because we were talking about the west wall, now we're on Cape Hayes. So we have decided that there was redfish along the shoreline, probably some pompano, but don't get, you know, your hopes up. Down by Cape Hayes, things look a little different, though. What's going on in Cape Hayes?
It's a little fishier there.
Definitely.
On the Boca Grande side of it, along the channel there, it's been a mixed variety of stuff. Some Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, some oddball mangrove snapper, a few trout. There's been some snook hanging along that edge between the entrance of Turtle Bay and the entrance of Muddy Bay, that whole little trough there. And then some assorted sharks on the bar and along that trough. What else you been hearing about over there?
I've been seeing and hearing a lot of trout on top of the bar in the grass.
Really? Any size to them?
No, not really. It's going to be just about the same as it is everywhere else. You're going to have to pick through them for the keepers. But it's nice to see them at least acting consistent in one area again.
Yeah, it is.
All right. That's going to bring us over to Bull Bay, Turtle Bay. I'm not sure what Bull Bay, Turtle Bay have to offer, but I guess we're going to find out.
There's been some scattered redfish in Turtle Bay this past week, mostly out on the open flats in those deeper grass and sand holes. And then the same way over in Bull Bay, kind of getting some mixed reports of some better redfish activity in there around those islands and some of those little sand holes and doodle bug mounds. The entrance out front has been kind of the same thing. Some snooks, some redfish cruising around there.
Doodle bug mounds?
Those humps that look like you would think it's a sand hole, but they're actually humped up a little bit.
Really?
That's what Danny used to call them, so that's what I go with.
Where is this in that?
What's that?
Where are they, relative speaking? Front, back, side, northwest, east?
Inside Bull Bay going over to Turtle Bay as you're heading that way. Most of them were on the right when I remember him showing them to me.
Gotcha. And what it is where the sand is shallower than the grass areas.
Correct.
Because in a lot of the areas in the harbor, the sand is deeper than where you see the grass. But in this particular area, the grass is actually shallower than the grass areas. So the dark areas are a little deeper. The white areas are shallower.
Yep.
And so these humps, they're not sand holes, they're sand mounds.
Yeah. He said when he was a kid, they were that they used to be, a lot of them used to have tube worms in them.
Yeah.
But he said in the last 15 or so years, there have been less and less of them, but they're still predominant humps. So
now we know what he's talking about. And yes, he is correct and correct, which cool. is good because, I mean, that is Danny. I mean, he is like the guy. So, okay, we're going to swing out and get Cape Hayes Reef. Anything going on out there right now?
Spanish mackerel, a few mangs.
Spanish mackerel seems to be the big one.
Yeah. The Spanish have been moving back and forth on it pretty regularly.
Okay. Gasparilla Sound and or the Tailing Flats. Which side of Boca you want to talk about?
A lot of redfish starting to move up there along those Tailing Flats between Devilfish all the way up towards Catfish. Not so much inside the creeks anywhere, but all on the flats and the shoreline there. And a few bigger trout. And a whole lot of little trout. A lot of guys have been complaining about the massive amounts of puffer fish in there just destroying their soft plastics. The one guy thought he had a faulty pack of baits.
Tails kept falling off.
The tails kept breaking off on him. And then I was able to show him one because he had one with him. I'm like, see that little half moon right there? So that's the beak of a puffer fish. He said, the only ones I'm seeing out there are only about 2.5 inches long. I said, yep, that's all it takes.
And it's strange how all of a sudden that area is full of them. You don't see them anywhere on the west side or the east side now.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple weeks ago it was pretty inundated on the east side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just funny. My bait's falling apart. There's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's got to be faulty manufacturing. It can't be that they just really... Puffer fish don't have teeth as the way we would think of it. You have to think more of like the beak of a parrot.
Yep.
Their teeth have evolved into a hard upper jaw and lower jaw, much closer to what the beak of a bird would be. Sharp and cutting.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the few fish that actually take bites of things.
Oh yeah, chunks.
Yeah, and most fish eat everything whole, where the puffer fish will just take bites as it needs it.
Yeah, I mean, they go up to bigger fish and just take a chunk out.
Yeah.
So, okay, Placida Pier and the Placida Trestle. This is where our focus is. This is where our attention is. This is we're wondering what's going on.
Daytime, there's been some good mangrove snapper bite off the trestle itself, and for the boaters that are fishing the old trestle and the new Boca Grande bridges there, have been doing well on some, 14, 15-inch mangs. Some snook, a few redfish coming through there. I've heard of a lot of little sharks, Spanish mackerel.
Jacks.
Yeah, been just a plethora of different varieties just coming through there. But the morning bite today has been killer, and then it's the late afternoon bite is killer the next day. It's kind of... been a little hit or miss, but when it's on, it's been really good.
If you're fishing it by boat, fish off both sides of your boat.
Yeah.
Fish off the front of your boat, towards the pier for your snapper and your snook and maybe even some grouper, and then throw something out the back of the boat for the jacks and the Spanish mackerel.
Okay, that's going to take us up to Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay's been starting to turn on a little bit more. There's been a school of redfish closer to Stump Pass. Not exactly sure because a couple of guys have been kind of tight-lipped about exactly where they're at, but they say it's very close to Stump Pass.
My redfish.
Yeah, my redfish, exactly. I forgot about their sign. It must have been high tide when I went through there to see that it was their spot.
Well, I'm gonna call that yes and no. I used to be more of a, oh my God, you know, you and your secret spots. It made me nuts. I mean, just stupid stuff. But with the amount of boats and the amount of people out there and the amount of place pirates.
Yeah.
I mean, because it used to be if somebody went in there and fished it, but then it started happening to me all the time. Somebody would find where I was fishing, and they would go there every day, all day.
And fish it out.
And just pound it till it was gone. They wouldn't go in, fish for an half, an hour, and go somewhere else. Once they started catching fish, they were there forever.
Yeah.
And so, while I'm not a big fan of the whole private secret spot, my fish, I'm almost getting it a little bit more where you have to kind of protect what you know because, I mean, I don't because, you know, A, I haven't been on the water except once this year because of the Meniere's disease and all the, you know, my health problems. But once I get back on the water, I don't know exactly how forthcoming you can be in this point.
Right.
Because people, it's like they close fishing in this spot. You tell people, it's because they didn't pick up their garbage.
Right.
They went there and they fished and they get oysters or something hooked on their thing. And instead of putting them back in the water, they throw them on land so they can get hooked there again. But right. Now the homeowner or the property owner has got all this garbage to clean up. Their drink containers and yep. This and that and the next thing. And just they trash the place and wonder why they're not allowed to go back. And they right. Get upset because we don't have as many fishing spots. And if you hear about, you know, you see somebody else catching fish in the area, I get going there to fish, but fish for an hour or so and get out.
Right.
Don't pound a spot to death. If you just because you found a fish there, you don't have to put up a mailbox.
Right.
You know, you don't have to move into the spot. You don't have to be there every day from daylight to dark. And, you know, you don't need a mailbox for these spots. You can come in, catch a few fish, and go away. You know, the other person found them, and you go and enjoy it a little bit. I get that. You know, hell, I've done it.
Right.
But moving in, putting up a mailbox, and being there every day until the spot is just totally ruined, that's I'm on the fence now about the whole my fish, my secret spot stuff because of what the way people react to it. And that's why I'm calling out on this, saying, come on, guys, everybody deserves a shot at some fish. But just because you find some doesn't mean you can set up a mailbox and live there.
Right, exactly. You know?
So, anyway, there's my thought.
I don't mind because most people can't get to my spots.
Okay.
It's just usually too shallow for most people to get there most of the time. So I don't want to change boats. I won't be able to get there most of the time.
Well, there is something. Carolina, the big flat-bottom Carolina skiff you have has some really bad aspects to it, but it's got some amazingly wonderful aspects to it as far as you can be running. If you hit bottom, when you stop, you're in less water than what you ran in.
Right.
So in if you can balance people out on it and just walk it back to places nobody would ever imagine you could take one of those boats. But, okay, what else is going on in Lemon Bay?
Spanish mackerel been being caught through that miserable mile and even out in towards the pass itself. Been getting some mixed reports of flounder underneath a lot of the docks on the mainland side. I would imagine that they're all over the place scattered throughout there on the flats, but just mainly those docks I've been hearing about. The snook activity's been picking up a little bit more because there's been a lot of small, not even really cast nettable white bait over there, but I guess it's getting the snook activity a little bit more fired up around all those little islands around Ski Alley and stuff.
All right. Let's see. Staying in that same vein, calling Englewood Pier Tom Adams Bridge. What's going on, Tom Adams Bridge?
I haven't heard anything in the last few days. The last report I got, honestly, was about a week ago today. And they were catching some snook, baby tarpon, and ladyfish at night there. You know, and that was basically...
Are they done working on the bridge?
8 days ago, 9 days ago. The pier?
The bridge.
I don't know if they're... We've been going on our time off to Boca Grande, not to Stump Pass at all. We haven't been to Stump Pass at all this summer.
Okay. Let's go out into the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of Mexico. That's actually pretty good. The mangrove snapper and lane snapper bite have been great, like at 12 to 15 miles out.
Big, big lane snapper.
Yeah. It's been kind of the theme all year long. You get into lanes and they've been pretty large, relatively speaking. The bonita and Spanish mackerel have been actually pretty close. Guys have been catching them in as close as 3 miles, but it seems like the majority of the activity is like that 10 to 20 mile mark. There's been some small sharks and some bigger sharks mixed in with those bonita. And also the occasional king mackerel.
No tuna?
Nope. I haven't heard of any tuna.
I know
tuna.
You're the one that listens for the tuna.
I haven't heard of any tuna in a week. At least a week now. Same way with the dolphin. I haven't heard much about dolphin this past week. Not a lot of guys ran offshore because the weather was so hopscotched all last week that guys weren't willing to run, you know, any fair distance offshore.
All right, here's one that'll be a brain tease for you. We failed miserably answering the questions on our last show. See if we can do any better. The grouper have moved in closer. There is keeper red grouper in 40 to 60 feet of water.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a couple oddballs out there. I just haven't heard consistency.
No, actually, several reports I've got, several emails and stuff, all confirm, yes, the grouper have moved in. Okay, so let's take, Kale, why?
My first guess is going to be food. I think that would be a bigger player than just about anything else. My second guess is going to be water temperature.
Okay.
We're starting to cool back down.
No. So I'm going to give you points on staying with safe. So we're not going to degrade you on that one. Two safe choices, food and water temperature, but the water temperature hasn't changed enough to bring them in. So we bumped you on the second one. The first one, the food, maybe, because that's always, you know, kind of a safe guess.
Yeah.
But the water temperature did not change enough to bring them back in.
I've got nothing other than that every summer, towards the end of summer, I hear of red grouper moving in a little bit closer to shore, but I have no real reason to understand why. But not usually in 40 feet of water. Usually it's like that 50, 60.
I'm
going
to look up when spawning season is for grouper. See if there is a known
correlation
time of
to
year
that.
To spawn.
Sure, absolutely.
Because Kale already guessed on the food. Water temperature has not changed enough. We're just at normals, but we're right there at the normals, you know, and normals shouldn't bring them in yet. A severe drop would have. Now, this tropical system, as it comes through the Gulf, will get us 2 or 3 degrees cooler Gulf temps, which we could really use. So as long as it doesn't build in anything where nobody's house gets ruined, nobody's life gets ruined, I'm all about this tropical storm. I'm actually disappointed it's not coming over us. We could use the cloud cover. We could use the temperature lowering on Florida itself.
Right.
You know, we don't really need more rain, but the rain doesn't really hurt us here in Florida. It's, you know, we've kind of, that's what we've had. But
tell that to mosquito control.
Yeah. You know, what is killing us is the Zika virus, the fish kills on the East Coast. We're fine over here, boys.
The news is killing us.
All right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The news is killing
all right.
us.
That would hurt. Okay.
Spawning of red grouper occurs offshore between January and June, peaking in May.
So.
In the Gulf, or is that all over?
That's red grouper in general.
Try to see what it is in the Gulf, because some areas are
for the
different.
Gulf, if there's a variant in the Gulf. But
that's such a broad spectrum animal.
Yeah. All right, Robert. Go ahead, Kale.
Primarily eating benthic invertebrates.
What?
Benthic.
They primarily eat benthic invertebrates.
Benthic?
Squid.
Okay, gotcha.
Has there been a squid movement coming in? Are they following the red drum?
Ask Mike Myers. He got all excited because they caught 2 squid inside down in his favorite area.
Right.
2 weeks ago. So 2 small squid. He thought it was the greatest thing in the world, so he's all excited about it. I've never caught squid. There's squid all over the place. You caught 2.
Okay.
So
well,
maybe there is a little flush of squid moving in.
Yeah. I'm turning you down. You get too excited today.
Sorry.
I turned you down.
I'll go back to monotone.
No, you can be, but when you're going to get excited, back up when you're going to get excited. I'm so used to you being monotone. I peg your mic out that you get involved and my eardrums cracked. Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. When you see the blood coming out of my ears, we'll know why.
It doesn't have anything to do with the syringe that they stuck in it.
No, that's putting needles through my ears is not why my ears are bleeding. All right. So anyway, Squid could be going back to your food comment, Kale. I called it a safe call. That might not have been the correct one. That might have been the cause. If there's a major squid hatch in close where they're going to be up in the harbor and near along the gulfs, that would attract a lot of fish because squid don't live long, a year, 2 years, maybe three, but they spawn, and when they spawn, it's billions of them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I look at it this way. I'm a firm believer that fish only care about three simple things: eat, reproduce, and don't get eaten. Well, they stay around structure, so that rules out don't get eaten no matter where they're at. They're out of their spawning season, so that rules out reproduction. That brings us to eat.
Yeah, and I'm going to say it's likely. I don't know why. All right. So now, call it from the passes. Venice, Stump Pass, Gasparilla, Boca, Captiva, Redfish, Ponderosa. Call out something. Let me know what's going on.
Boca and Captiva Pass are kind of mirror images of each other right now.
Yeah.
There's been some good mangrove snapper in there.
Spotty tarpon,
some flounder along the edges of the channel.
Some decent sharks.
Hodgepodge, decent sharks. Spanish mackerel been cruising through with some pretty consistency, irregardless of which way the tide is moving. And then hearing of a few incidental pompano along the deeper edges of the channel in like that 15, 18 feet of water range.
Okay. Any of the other passes, anybody got anything?
The Venice jetties have had Spanish mackerel during the daytime being caught off of there. And then at night, the mangrove snapper of a little bit better sizes, along with a lot of snook with a few tarpon. You know, the snook fishing, snook season opens Thursday this week. So there's going to be a handful of people getting pretty excited about that.
Okay. Anything for redfish or anywhere else?
No, I mean, the redfish have been a few here and there, but it's not enough to say that it's consistent. The ones that have been being caught out there, though, have been oversized fish in that 30, 33-inch range.
They're starting to trickle in.
Yeah, been a few
wow.
oversized, but I wouldn't say giant bulls.
Okay, just on a dad note, I am a dad, and my daughter wrote a book.
Yeah.
And I just got a text. She just had a contract to a school is buying 700 of her books to
nice.
They're making her book part of the curriculum for their classes. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Heather's she's actually a published author, but now she's actually selling
making
the books.
Money off.
Yeah, she's selling the books. So,
no longer a starving artist, actually could potentially make a little bit.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
She's actually making some money off it. They
congratulations to her. That's good
stuff.
Yeah, Heather, actually, they paid for her to fly to Ohio to give a presentation at the school, and I guess they liked the presentation, and so they just bought 700 books. What is it? Yeah, hang on. Okay, what we're talking about now is we're going to leave the passes and just kind of go to a general walk around. If you were going to go out, let's say, to Manasota Key or down to Sanibel or Venice, Englewood Beach, and you're just going to walk along the beach with a rod and reel casting out, what would be the likely thing that you would catch?
Some of the guys have been picking up some flounder out along the beaches, especially like the Venice area down to the Stump Pass area. That seems to be where I've been hearing the most productivity for that. And then, Boca Grande, Captiva, all on that shoreline. An oddball flounder, but a few snook I've actually heard about this past week.
Yep.
Some jacks, little jacks and little blue runners cruising along the shoreline. and a few Spanish mackerel for the guys who are being able to cast out. And it seems like the activity, you know, as normal, seems to get a little bit better as you get closer to the passes. You know, right in the passes have been varying, but gets a little bit better as you get closer to them. I've heard of a couple small sharks too also being caught, some bonnet heads and an oddball black tip.
Flounder seems to be the...
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of mixed reports of that, so it's been kind of cool. You know, I mean, some of the guys have been going out at night and gigging them.
Yeah.
Gigging for flounder, kind of a lost art. It was real popular back when, you know, when I first got into business, it was a very, very common thing. But I think the water's been so murky and stuff, I don't think it has for so many years. Terry, could you open that door, please? I think because of the murkier water, I think that's one of the things that's slowed down the flounder gigging. Now we get these periods of nice clear water where you can actually go out and see some fish, and the flounder gigging seems to pick back up again. So that's going to take us down by Sanibel, Ponarasa. Anything going on in Ponarasa itself? Sanibel Island, more or less?
I haven't heard much around the island itself. Sanibel Causeway, though, has had some nice big snook on it and a few oddball tarpon.
But a few redfish, too.
Yeah? Yeah, I haven't heard much about the redfish, so that's all you on that one.
Yep.
I mean, literally, the causeway is the only activity I've heard of. That whole area has been so quiet.
Well, we were talking about the lack of boats. And, you know, one of the conversations, you know, it's one of the things when I walk in the morning and, you know, I come around the corner and, you know, I hear the conversations going on behind the counter. And it could be literally anything. I don't know of a topic that I haven't walked up on. But this morning, one of the topics was... a lack of boats in a lot of the higher end marinas and canal systems and stuff like that. And one of the things, maybe down around Sanibel and some of these other places, it could be less interest now because of the media. All, you know, the world is ending, the Coosahatchee has ended life as we know it,
Zika's going to kill
nothing,
us all.
Nothing will survive the Zika virus. We're all, you know, no one in Florida is going to live through this year. You know, how we survive this long is just unimaginable because, you know, it's been raining hellfire and brimstone, and, you know, the earth is opening up. We're all falling into a pit. Could it be because of that there's a lot less boats, or is it because a lot of people from other countries are buying a lot of the condos, a lot of the apartments, a lot of the houses are being bought from people like from England? And England, you can buy as many houses you want here. We love the English. The UK is our buddy. We should always stand behind England and stand side by side with them. You know, in front of, behind, side by side, England is the bomb. That little tiny country has taken over the frickin' world at one point or another, probably several times. I mean, Doolittle. It's a little bitty place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, got to respect that. But, and we have so many friends from England and the UK in general. Do you think it's them buying it up that's reducing the amount of boats you see?
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure on that one. There's such a hodgepodge out there. I think some of these marinas, snowbirds that have houses and condos down there have actually been, because of the hype with all the boat thefts in the last couple of years, a lot of them have been putting them in dry storage.
So they leave for when they go away for the summer to go back up north and, you know, live the good life.
Right.
They put the boat in lockup for the summer instead of leaving it sit on the lift.
Yeah. I've been hearing that from several customers this past year because, I mean, we've had some really expensive ones stolen right out of PGI.
Yeah.
So that's about
boats and motors
thing.
And parts and everything else. You know, it's sometimes less problematic to lock it up for the summer.
Right.
So Kale, your thoughts?
I'm right there with people coming in from other countries. If you look at a lot of those places, burnt stores being advertised very heavy in the UK. A lot more people from the UK coming over there. A lot more people from the UK coming to Sanibel. My landlord's English. He lives in Sanibel. one of those places upriver that's been almost bought out completely by...
I just poked a hole in my head with a stupid nail. I couldn't believe that.
Condos right there up the river from us, they're full of people from the UK.
And which is a good thing. Mind you, this has not been said in any
just
type
most of them could care less about boats and having a boat and being on the water.
The good thing is for charter boat captains, many of them hire charter boat captains to go out there and do that. But they're looking more for the weather experience and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember a few years ago when it was mostly Germans buying everything up.
Right. That was a huge thing.
It's funny because the British exit from the European Union, their economy's going crazy. All the media, everybody, all the political people all said this would never happen. It's going to be horrible.
And the world's going to end.
Yeah, we even had our government official go over there and tell them, you know, don't do it. You're going to the back of the line. And I think this whole them coming over here and buying so much stuff is because they were actually able to get out of the European Union. And England should, you know, Britain in general, the UK should always stand alone. They've already proved they can do it. So, anyway, going into a new realm, fishing. Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, Matt Lachey. What's going on, Matt Lachey?
They've been getting some snook off of there. We're getting some mixed reports of little guys, some in the, you know, slot limit, and then quite a few big fish over the slot limit. And then just south of there in the Indian fields, there's been some assortment of redfish. It's not gangbusters, but it's definitely fishable.
There's definitely been a big switch down there from redfish to snook over the last month.
Okay. Anything else going on there?
Some juvenile tarpon right at the mouths of some of those Cape Coral canals. Getting some good mixed reports on those. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, with the store opening up in Fort Myers, now I've got to learn how to spell. I know how to spell Cape, but it's getting coral right. I don't know why, but it's one of those words that doesn't look right, you know, when you type it.
Yeah.
Right.
You Cape know, Corral.
Yeah, it looks like it should be different. Okay. So let's see, where does that take us? That across the island, heading out towards the Gulf, Pine Island Sound. What is this, our next victim? What do we have to say, good or bad, about Pine Island Sound?
Been really good. Very good assortment of stuff, especially from Captiva Pass, working your way north along all those little islands and those really deep, I don't know what you want to call them, sand holes.
Yeah.
You know, there's been Spanish mackerel, assortment of different size sharks, a few oddball tarpon. The reds and the snook have been really good around the mangrove islands there, especially by the shacks.
Good bait down there.
Yeah, I'm hearing mixed. I'm mixed on that one. You know, there's lots of pinfish. Billions of pinfish.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. And the water has been alternating from day to day with its clarity. You know, one day it's a little on the milky side, the next day it's got pretty decent visibility.
I think right now with the river at 4 feet, you know, I think that's going to help with the thing. We do need to have, you know, some storms come and cool everything off. And what people forget is it's very, very common, and I mean really common, for us to have a week of rainy weather, either in the beginning of like sometime in the spring and then again in the fall.
Yep.
And usually due to some type of tropical disturbance on one end or the other, we're just, you know, cloudy and rainy for a week. And that's like the final, that's like the beginning of the summer season and the end of it. And the end of it, that week of cloudy, rainy weather starts our cool off.
Right.
Which then, you know, persists. You know, somehow or another, kind of slows the rain down. I don't know why. It usually should bring more rain because we're semi-arid desert climate, you know, and you rain begets rain. But usually that week of rainy weather, but we haven't had that yet.
No.
We've had rain almost every day in some parts of the state, but we haven't had that week of cloud cover and everything else that usually kicks us into that, right. Okay, everything's going to cool down, everything's going to get great again. So hopefully
that official kickoff of fall kind of thing.
Yeah,
right. And it's funny because it's so seldom we have day upon day of rain.
Right.
It's literally a week at one point of the year, and maybe on the opposite end of that year, you know, like early spring, late fall, we do get 4, 5, 6 days of rainy weather. It's very, very uncommon. But I think that's kind of the case all around the U.S. anymore, is you don't have a lot of rain after rain after rain, all day drizzly, rainy stuff,
right,
the way it used to be. It seems like now we get a...
Unless you're in Portland, Oregon.
But even they don't get it like they used to.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
No, I mean, nowadays it's either a storm or clear.
Right.
You know, it's either a storm hitting, a thunderstorm, a tornado, a big, you know, wind, rain event.
It's not a massive stall out front. Yeah.
And it's not like just kind of an overall rain, you know. Kind of weird. Brings us back. We did from down south up to Matt Lachey over to Pine Island Sound. This is going to take us into Boquilla Jug Creek Shoals.
There's been some decent fishing out there. lots of good bait. Seeing lots of pinfish, lots of greenbacks, lots of juvenile why can I never remember that fish?
Ballyhoo.
There we go. There's been some good Spanish mackerel in the troughs behind the sandbars. There's been some decent trout on the grass out in front of the sandbars.
All right. Is there any fish over there?
I've heard of a few flounder, the Spanish mackerel, like he's talking about, both inside and outside the flat or the bar there. been some sharks up there around that oyster bar just north of Jug Creek.
Okay. Kind of getting into, let's just swing over a little bit. Burnt Store Two Pines. Anything going on in that area between Burnt Store and Two Pines?
Right at first light and right just before sunset, there's been a school of redfish hanging out on that bar there. It's 150, 200 fish strong.
Yeah.
Once a few boats run them over, they kind of split up and disappear and wherever they go, like normal. The evening guys have been also catching some small snook along the shoreline there, with a few trout and a few flounder on the open flat between the bar and the shoreline. Mainly, probably, I would say, closer to Two Pines than to Burnt Store.
A lot of small snapper mixed in there, too.
Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me either. You know,
I like to see it.
Yeah?
We lost all those little snapper kind of after Hurricane Charlie. It's nice to see them coming back.
I don't know if I'm going to agree with that or not. We've had
the last couple of years have been pretty banner on snapper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We did for a few years. Now, when I started here in the 1980s, you give somebody a bag of frozen shrimp, send them down to any of the piers, and they had 80% chance they were going to catch some mangrove snappers. And that really backed off, and it's never really come back. But we're getting more and more each year, the snapper fishing, and mostly in the Gulf, is just going ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, lots and lots of snappers.
Pretty impressive.
I think they've changed the way they're hiding out. And, okay, speaking of hiding out, if you're going to come up from Burnt Store Two Pines coming up, we got Pirate Harbor going north up the east side along the East Keys. Anything going on there?
Been getting some good trout reports back in behind Hobbs Point. Inside that cut right below Hobbs Point. redfish have been decent. Snook, especially small snook. Lots of small snook underneath every mangrove through there.
Been a lot of juvenile tarpon inside the Pirate Harbor area. And hearing of a few oddball flounder and redfish just north of Pirate Harbor around, what's that, Cormorant Key?
Yeah.
You know, out there on the harbor side of Cormorant Key, been some redfish and a few oddball flounder. Kind of a little mixed bag going on out there. The trout have been there, but they've been mostly on the smaller side that I've been hearing about up on the flat. The crabbers at least finally figured out where the crabs are at now, from what I understand over there. Because the crabbers have had their traps inside, closer to the shoreline, kind of in the trough area. And the skinny part of the flat has been just inundated with crabs, with all these pots sitting there not doing anything. Now they've got their pots up there on a high tide. They're still sticking out of the water 3 or 4 inches.
That's where you need to be.
Okay. I guess
now that they're starting to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, takes us up to Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, right at the entrance, there's been a few jacks and pompano, and then there's been some redfish moving in and out of there, right there along the mangroves on both sides of the channel.
They seem to sit right on that edge of that channel.
Yeah. Up inside the creek, I haven't heard much except for some jacks and some very small snook cruising around up in there. You know, I haven't heard anything. How about you, Frank? You heard anything up there in that burnt store cut through?
No, I haven't really heard of much of anything going on over there. It's going to take us into the PGI canals from there. Ponce de Leon Park first.
Ponce de Leon's had a lot of mangrove snapper, a few black drum, a couple idiots trying to poach snook. What else has been going on there? That's about it that I've heard. It's been kind of bad.
So, in other words, it's back to normal.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's been... I have heard of a couple small redfish being caught there, too.
Well, they just finished dredging it, so...
Yeah.
It will take a little time for it to come back.
It's kind of funny. They just dredged it, what, a year and a half ago?
Yes.
Why?
And when was the last time they dredged it before a year and a half ago?
25 years ago? I don't know.
Oh, no. It's been on a pretty steady basis.
Is it?
Has it?
Oh, yeah. No, this happens pretty regularly. Every 4, 5, 6 years, they do it again.
It's just weird that, I mean, literally, they only did it like a year and a half ago. And they dredged it big time that last go around.
But what they're finding is maintenance is easier to keep up with than massive dredging.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to haul off a little bit of dirt a lot of times.
Imagine
a lot
that.
Of dirt every once in a while.
Yeah.
And that's all part of the PGI system, so they're allowed to do that, but it stopped right there at Ponce because they're not allowed to dredge that area, you know. But, you know, that's what happens when you got people who have connections to get that. So, anyway, let's see. All right, what am I looking at here? PGI canals.
A lot of little tarpon everywhere scattered throughout there. Yeah, and then there's also been some bigger snook moving around, you know, getting some fairly good action on the big snook and over by Bass Colony, and that Rim Canal has had a lot of nice snook on it with a few really big jacks. I've been hearing of some 8 and 10 pound jacks, not great numbers, but some pretty studly sized fish. Yeah, and those guys are catching those. Most of the guys are catching those trolling. So it's been kind of neat to hear that.
It's kind of neat to hear people trolling the canals.
Yes. We've only been trying to teach it for, what, 30 years?
Something like that.
Give or take.
All right. I'm going to a little less likely spot, Gilcrest Park, Gilcrest Pier.
I have not heard of anything this week.
No.
Nothing at all, unfortunately.
Okay. Taking us out into the harbor. What's going on at the reef? Alligator Creek Reef, the concrete reef. The 1 mile reef. The old north and south pointer sticks things. Go ahead. I have no idea. Sometimes things just come out of nowhere and it just, you know. Anyway, go ahead.
The Spanish mackerel have been hanging out more on the middle to southern end of it. There's been a lot of little oddball sharks also down there in that same vicinity. And then throughout the week, you know, throughout the past week, been getting mixed reports of the ladyfish with some tarpon mostly like on the northern end of the reef heading towards the shoreline. You know, heading basically towards Alligator Creek. It hasn't been consistent, but the fish, when they're there, it's been pretty impressive from what I've been hearing. You got about the same, or... Kale?
Yeah, there's... The tarpon have been in there, bouncing around between there and Alligator Creek, and they're getting, it seems, less and less consistent.
Yeah. It's been a very screwy year for tarpon. Because usually this time of year, it's usually pretty sick. You find the ladyfish and you find the tarpon.
And it seems like they're doing everything in their power to avoid them.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe they taste funny this year.
Okay, the deep holes in the harbor. The 20-foot, the middle hole, the Pirate Harbor hole.
Lots and lots of catfish.
Yeah, no shortage of catfish out there right now.
There are still some smaller sharks out there.
Yeah, the smaller sharks, they seem to get a little bit more consistent, a little bit better quality as you get down towards the Pirate Harbor hole.
There has been some Spanish mackerel.
Yeah, so it's just going to be Spanish mackerel and a few oddball bluefish mixed in with them. Nothing of any size on the bluefish, but still fun to catch.
No Spanish mackerel either.
Yeah.
Most of them have been small.
Just funny, people hear bluefish and get excited because they think 13 and 20 pound bluefish what they're used to catching up north. They don't realize all our bluefish here are snapper blues. You'd use them for bait for your bluefish up there.
Right.
All right. So this is going to bring us on to the bait report. So what's going on with bait? Pinfish.
Pinfish are all
everywhere.
Give me a what's best spot to go catch pinfish?
Ice house.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty fair one. Even at the ice house or even just above the Pirate Harbor channel.
Okay.
Devilfish is always a good place to look for pinfish. Jug Creek Shoal is doing very good for pinfish.
All right. Any thread fin report?
There's been some thread fins in the middle of the harbor, big thread fins, tarpon threadies. Cape Hayes down towards Boca. You'll start to see some schools coming up around the deep holes in the afternoon.
Okay, whitebait report.
You still have a little bit at Pirate Harbor, but you do have to chum a while and work for it. And that goes from Alligator Creek pretty much all the way down to Burnstour. Devilfish has been doing well. The flats out on the backside of Boca Grande have been doing well. Dry Creek Shoal.
Where would decent. Anybody have any place where they could go to find some actual castable whitebait, not tiny ones?
Tampa Bay.
No, the ones that we got down at Jug Creek Shoal were decent sized.
Were they quarter inch mesh net or 3/8?
I was throwing a 3/8 mesh. None of them were getting stuck in them.
Everything I've been hearing about is so darn small.
Well, if you're looking for a big school of them, chances are they're going to be small. You're going to get in these areas where you can get a handful at a time. You've got to work for them.
Right. I mean, it's not instant gratification. I can't just go out there and chum, and they're going to come and jump in the live well.
If you want them to Christmas tree your net, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, that brings us out to, anybody heard anything about freshwater stuff? What's going on in freshwater?
Guy's been doing really good on some catfish over there in the Rotunda area. He's been catching those little yellow bullheads. And then another guy's been catching some good bullheads out there and off of King's Highway, somewhere out there past Lake Susie and some of the, I don't know if he's fishing Horse Creek or some of the little ponds out in there and stuff, but he's been kind of getting excited about those little yellow cats. The bass fishing guys have been starting to come in now that we're carrying shiners a little bit more consistently. They're going out there and kind of hunting around to see how the bass activity's been doing. I just haven't gotten any good feedback.
Now, where were you talking about the yellow cats?
Yeah, up off of King's Highway fishing some of those canals and even up probably by, I'm guessing up by Horse Creek, because he was saying he was up past Lake Susie.
Now, why would somebody get excited about yellow cats?
They're supposed to be great eating.
Yellow cats are very good eating.
Supposed to be really good eating. Yeah, I mean, I have not had a single person.
Well, I didn't know if they had a purpose or he just really likes fishing.
No, they actually target them for food.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, those yellow bullheads are supposed to be phenomenal.
They're good fighting fish to a degree, but they're actually very good eating. spell horse.
H-O-R-S-E.
I don't know why I couldn't get that. I mean, played horse in, you know, with a basketball hoop. Actually rode horses. I've been horseback
even
up the mountains.
Even
on
real
desert.
Cowboy boots that actually are used for that.
Yes, I mean, I actually spent time on horses, and for the life of me, I could not get it spelled. All right, what else going on? Any bass anywhere?
I have not heard. I mean, the guys have been starting to pick up the shiners now that we've got them, like I was saying. I just haven't had or been here when the guys have come back for a second go-around to get any good answers from them.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's what slowed down the freshwater fishing in the area.
Yeah, with all our, you know, now that we got the bait, you know, the guys, I'm starting to see some of the regular faces coming in again.
Any kind of panfish?
I haven't heard of any except for the Mayan cichlids.
Yeah. Okay.
Mayan cichlids and tilapia, a lot of people have been coming in asking how to catch them. So I'm assuming they're chewing pretty good, or just because they're so visual, a lot of people are seeing them.
All right. Yeah, I've got to really work on getting some of the bottom of this page cleaned up, but that's got to be in our report each week from now on. So really,
the freshwater,
you start paying attention to the freshwater stuff as well.
No problem.
So, that's just, we have so much freshwater fishing, and we're going to the Fort Myers store. Between here and Fort Myers, there's so much freshwater fishing.
Right.
And when you get into Fort Myers, there's just it, or Cape Coral and all those other places.
Yeah,
just
Cape
so much
Coral's got so many miles of freshwater canals.
I cannot imagine how big this place-by-place report is going to be in our area fishing report once that store's open and we start adding the Coosahatchee spots and the... the canal spots and the piers and the Gulf more for down there. I mean, yeah.
We're going to have to dedicate one whole day just to the fishing report.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to have to learn how to do this a little quicker once we get that other store going. And then maybe some actual other spots, new locations to open up as well. We're going to try and do our best in spite of everything that happens.
There you go.
Let's see. This is Fish and Frank in the chair. I got Robert in the chair across from me. And in the guest spot today was Captain Kale helping us round out the fishing report for this week. And appreciate you guys listening. Actually, really appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate the emails and the phone calls and the people who stopped by talking about everything. We are trying to work everything in, and we're pretty much getting everything down. My health has gotten a lot better. We're more on a regular pace. I'm kind of enjoying a little bit of slow time here. The media is kind of trash Florida, so tourism is way down, and so we're a little slower than we've been, and I'm taking time to kind of enjoy it. So
as you should.
Fort Myers store is in full operation, we will be doing at least 4 to 5 shows a week, different venues. We've already we're hooking up with the Sheriff's Department, with FWC, with probably CETO, and a whole bunch of other people and captains with more on the water report. We're getting a really trying to get all our homework done to get you guys some amazing stuff to happen. And that's our goal, is to give you the best fishing information, boating safety, and all that possible. So anyway,
great.
That's just me. Any last thoughts, Kale?
No okay. Last thoughts,
Robert?
No, none that I can speak of.
Well, again, boys and girls, thanks for listening. Fish and Frank here, and we will see you in the next Radio Fishing. Bye.